Brother John Baker is going to lead us in the testimony meeting. He's asked us to open with 324, and we've asked Brother Bob Gray to take us to the throne of grace and ask the Lord's blessing upon testimony meeting.
Merciful Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we continue in your presence this day with the desire in our hearts to apply the lessons that we have learned, to remember the manna text of the day and guard our tongues, and especially use this opportunity so that our tongues may praise you from the depths of our heart for all your mercy. Please accept our thanksgiving. We are hardly worthy of just about anything we can imagine, and therefore give praise to Jesus for making it possible for us to commune with you at this time. Please be with Brother John and with all the brethren, whether they verbally or in their hearts testify of your goodness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bob. So, Brother Bill, are you doing the video? Are you managing the video?
No, Brother John, do you want to call on the names yourself? Do you want them to put their hands up in the participants area, or, you know, the little hand, or
yes,
that or what?
Yes.
Okay, Brother John will take it all himself.
Brother John, go ahead. Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother David. Thank you, Brother Bob. Well, dear friends, this is the time, as Brother David mentioned, to share your hearts. Look forward very much to the blessings that you've had, the lessons. Perhaps the convention has inspired you more as you think of all the Lord has done in giving us truth. Perhaps you have a strength and resolve to progress in your consecration and to hold fast, to follow even closer after Christ. We'd love to hear your thoughts, dear brethren, and we look forward to hearing about your providences too. If you would, brethren, if you could raise your hand to speak, and you know, at the bottom of the participant screen, there are hands. And dear friends, those of you on the phone, or if you don't know how to raise your hand, I will call upon you. I will call for any that maybe would like to testify but can't work with the technology as it is. I see we've got three hands already. We'll start with Sister Shannon Petty. And if you would, you may turn your video on to testify as well. Over.
Can you hear me?
You're a bit faint, but we can hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Still faint.
How's that?
I think you better go with it.
Okay, I just wanted to share how I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and I found the Bible students back about 10 years ago, and I just got back in touch with Brother Jim Moss, and I got on the convention today, and it really has molded me to move further in my consecration and to really take seriously the things that I need to take serious in order to make my calling and election sure.
Thank you, Brother Shannon, for your testimony. It's wonderful to hear your desire to serve. And, brethren, we can remember Brother Shannon in our prayers as he seeks to follow closely after Christ as we do as well. Thank you, Brother Shannon. I'll get Sister Ginger next.
Hello, brethren. I just want to say how thankful I am to be with the APSCO Ecclesia and to be a part of this wonderful convention, and so thankful for the brethren that have put so much of their time and energy into this. And I'm thankful not only that we've had the opportunity to meet online on Zoom, I've had the opportunity to attend more meetings this way. As I have started the workforce, I'm working more and had less time for study and had to work in more opportunities to listen in. And it's been a struggle, and I've really missed deep studying. So I just really appreciated today a lot. Brother West just doesn't know how much his talk meant to me, because when you hear the background of the truth movement, and you've searched so many years to find the truth, it's really important to study and to take every opportunity. And it's just, I just realize how much more important it is to take every minute. And I just thank all the brethren today for everything they've done. And just want to especially thank Brother West for everything that he brought out. It really meant a lot. And I'm very thankful today.
Thank you for your testimony, Sister Ginger. You know, it is a great mystery how the Lord sees every heart, and he sees the lessons that each one needs. And he puts in the minds of the servants those things to say that will touch the hearts that need the lesson. And we appreciate your sharing. Sometimes we're very pressed in the flesh, and we can't study maybe as we want. And it makes the truth more precious when we have a greater opportunity to listen or to study. But keep on studying, keep on striving after Christ. Thank you, Sister Ginger. I see we have Brother Ninan or Sister Mabel, or maybe both. Over to you.
Hi, Brother John. I just want to take some time to bring greetings and love. Warm greetings from Sister Mabel's parents back in India, Brother Joshua and Sister Melanie, and also from my grandmother who's in India right now. She was supposed to come back to the States, but is isolated there due to COVID and unable to travel. And also the other brethren, as I had earlier testified in our breakout session, that we have Bible student brethren in my state, and also a lot of brethren in Sister Mabel states, they all send their warm Christian love to each and every one of you. And would like to thank the convention committee for putting on this convention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Ninan, and we appreciate how the Lord, you know, knows the times and seasons of our lives as well, and how many are being tested among the Lord's people because they can't be with their loved ones, whether it's overseas or because of restrictions. We just appreciate that very much. Did you have more to add, Brother Ninan?
Yeah, I forgot to bring, a lot of us are online today, but the greetings of the Bellevue Bible Students Ecclesia. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Are there any brethren on the phone or who don't know how to raise their hands that would like to testify? Okay, if not, we have Sister Judy Garrison next. Keep those hands coming, dear friends.
Hi, Brother John. I want to raise my voice in praise and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. He's so good to us. And I just want the brethren to know that we haven't seen our youngest grandson now for nearly 6 months. And we are in a self-imposed quarantine so that we can see him. His mom is very, our daughter is very strict. And she said, Mom, if you can stay away from everybody and not go anywhere or do anything for 2 weeks, you can see Gary. So I'm just so excited that he's coming. They are coming next Friday and spending 2 nights with us, and they'll be sleeping in our meeting room. And she said, just leave it all alone, Mom. We'll just fix it all up ourselves. We'll bring our own food and everything. So you can see it's going to be a very different type of visit, but I'm so excited that, and it just reminds me of how the world of mankind will be when they're welcoming back their loved ones. They'll be so excited to see them. And I am just 6 more days left. So the Lord be praised. We love you. And thank you so much for this wonderful convention, dear Absco brethren. And thank you, Brother John, for your services and all the brethren that have served. Lord bless and be faithful. Over.
Thank you for sharing some insight in your experiences. And I remember a testimony Brother Lou gave at the Bahamut Convention some years ago about how precious this grandson is. And we're very thankful. You know, friends, it's so good for us to remember in every experience, God means it for good. Sometimes we're denied a blessing, and yet that makes the blessings even sweeter when they come. Appreciate you taking it that way, Sister Judy. Lord bless and smile upon you too. Thank you. Brother Brad.
Hi, Brother John. Thank you, and good to be with you and all the other ones on the convention today. I was thinking over the discourses that we've heard today. And I always kind of look for a thread of thought that goes through, and one thing that came up to me today was that to one extent or another, I think every speaker, every talk made a point that was also made clear in the reprint 5374 that was offered by the Columbus Brethren to study in preparation. And that point came through in every talk and in the reprint of what I perceive as the really sincere and natural and deep humility that was at the very root of Brother Russell's character. You know, when you think about the position that he took, that the Lord used him to serve as he did, and to think about the humility that he maintained is an extraordinary accomplishment in my mind. And because he had to have the strength of character to be able to put forth the message, to be able to be strong, to say things that needed to be said, and yet to couch it all in a sincerity of humility, which is just remarkable to me. I'm going to put up a list of, I've got 4 reprint articles that I think statements that he made give us a great example of the true humility that he had as a servant of the Lord, and I'll put that in the chat in just a minute. all the articles, I think, just really touch on that well. I also wanted to say that I appreciate the courage that is required to speak to the Lord's people, like at a convention. You know, you're having many people listen at one time. Anytime you give a talk or say anything, really, you're always subject to scrutiny and sometimes criticism. But I think it takes even more courage than that to be, as we've heard from a number of the speakers today, standing on the watchtower. As I mentioned to Brother Rick, I think you put yourself in that position and you become a target. And not just from an individual, and not just from a human attack, but from attack by the adversary, that he wants to take out those that would stand on the watchtower and try and stand for what they consider to be the most important of truth. And to hold that position without wavering requires a lot of courage. And I think the Lord appreciates that when we do exhibit courage. Brother John, I have a quote from a reprint that I was going to read. It's about, I don't know, maybe it'll take me about a minute if that would be okay.
Okay.
It says, and this is based, I think, on Brother Russell's personal experiences. You know, many of the things we read about, they're all things that he faced and dealt with in real time. So this is what it says. God's people should beware of pride, as they would avoid the most deadly plague. This rule, always good and well backed by Scripture, seems doubly needful to those who are blessed with the light of present truth. This may seem strange. It may be reasoned that the receiving of so much grander views of God's character and plan would make his people feel the more insignificant and humble, the more dependent on divine goodness, the more trustful of God, and the less trustful of themselves. And this should be the effect always and ever. But alas, with very many, it is not so. Many get to feel that the knowledge of the plan of the ages proves them specially wise or great or good. They seem to forget that God hides the truth from the wise and the great, that no flesh should glory in his sight. They love the truth selfishly, as dealers love their merchandise, for the sake of what they can get for it. If they cannot hope for wealth or in exchange for the truth, they can hope for small notoriety or appear wiser than others, that they may dole it out in fragments and thus perpetuate their notoriety for wisdom and gratify their pride or vanity. And that's the end of the quote. Brother Russell touched on some very delicate things, but he put them forward as I think experience directed him that he needed to. And so we appreciate that. We appreciate the lessons given in the convention today very much. And I thank you for your fellowship.
Okay. And Brother Brad, could you give that reference?
Yes, I will post them in the – I'm going to post this article, I think, is 3595, and I'm going to post four in the chat.
Okay, thank you, Brother Brad. And, brethren, I've been neglectful. We've had – I should ask everyone to announce themselves. We had Brother Shannon from Western Colorado, Sister Ginger Bowen from Central Ohio, Brother Nyan Andrews from Belleville, Washington, Sister Judy Garrison from Salem, and now Brother Brad Bach from San Diego. I realize many, you know, may not know each one of these, so we want to share that. Dear friends, do keep the hands coming. I like a popcorn testimony with the hands going up quickly. We do have Sister Alice Williams who would like to share her testimony. Go ahead. And she's from Phoenix.
Do you hear me?
Yes, Sister Alice. We can see you and hear you. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Sister Alice Williams. I'm from the Phoenix class. And a lot of you probably already know, my husband and I both were tested positive for COVID-19. And I know it was a trial for us that we needed to go through for whatever reason. And I am so thankful that He was in the hospital for 7 days. And when he was in there, not even the doctors believed his recovery and how he went through that. But I think everybody, it was right during the general convention. And we just received so many cards and just an outpouring of prayer from all of the brethren that I know my Heavenly Father stepped up and seen us through. I never even got sick, really. I lost my taste and my smell. But every morning that I got up, I came in and I got on the convention. And it just seemed like it just helped me so much to get through all of this. I love all of you, and I thank you all for the prayers and the care and the cards and the texts that you gave me, which was so uplifting and kept us so in tune with who we're dealing with. The Heavenly Father knows us. He's taking care of us so well. And I love all of you, and I thank you. Love from Brother MC as well. And please continue to keep us in your prayers as we recover. Over.
Thank you, Sister Ellis. You know, a scripture that is very comforting when we have unusual trials is 1 Corinthians 10:13, which it speaks about how there is no temptation that has taken you except what is common to man. And so we have experiences in common with mankind. It's part of our being fitted as the part of the sympathetic high priest. So we may not understand always why we have an experience, but we see the Father's loving care as you've expressed through his people, and they do deepen our sympathies and our appreciation of what he's done for us. So good to hear your testimony, Sister Allison. Please give Brother MC love from the convention as well.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that can't raise their hand that would like to testify? Okay, we have either Brother Richard or Sister Suzanne Doctor next.
I can't see us.
It's nice to see you both.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Brother John, today's been a great blessing, and it's really... It so touches our hearts to, for Sue and I to be able to be at the conventions with the brethren and to hear the Lord's truth presented so clearly, and we rejoice in that. But there's something else I wanted to talk about that was a source of a special rejoicing and joy. And that is, we were invited by our son-in-law to listen to a broadcast from the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, because Wednesday through Thursday night was Tisha B'Av, or was it Tuesday through Wednesday? No, it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the date for the Jewish mourning for the destruction of the temple. And what was very encouraging about that, of course, you know, we heard Benjamin Black, who's my son-in-law's father, he's a very, very well-known rabbi, was speaking. And what was coming out from this was they had so many testimonies and examples of Jewish young people who had been secular and had gotten in touch with their roots by returning to Israel and had become very, very, very excited about being Jews and about the closeness of Messiah's kingdom. And it's much closer than they could ever imagine. Much closer. It was just a blessing to see that. We actually had a luncheon with Benjamin Bleck and his wife Elaine while we were in New York last week. and a chance to talk about the scriptures with them a little bit. You know, we were talking about areas where there wasn't going to be conflict. But, you know, we have such a blessing and such a wonderful message to give forth, and they're still not ready to hear, you know, and see the one that has been pierced. But we know that's coming. And it was, to me and Sue, it was just really exciting to see the level of commitment and the changeover from some of these that were secular to recognizing that God has something special, or you never say God in the Orthodox community. Hashem, the name, has something special in mind for them. So I just wanted to share the blessing.
Can I say something?
Of course you can.
Brother John, can I add?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I was really excited because Ben Black was giving a what they call a lesson. It was a 15-minute discourse. And he was talking about the significance of the number 9. And he says, well, what does 9 represent, you know? He says, that's the number of months a woman is pregnant until birth. And what are we expecting? The birth, the Messiah to come. And I went, whoa. And he goes, we have no idea why there's so much trouble, but we do know it's leading up to the birth. And I thought, oh yeah, it's travail upon a woman. So it's a special opportunity to witness and to talk to these people. And I just thought I would share that, you know, God is opening the eyes little by little, and we are rejoicing and thankful.
Oh, thank you very much, Brother Richard and Sister Susan. You know, I heard a sister one time refer to these kinds of things as the stars touching the sand, the star class touching the sand class. And it's pretty remarkable. One might think that the church would be completed and then all the work with Israel would begin. But here again, we see this wonderful overlap, and we see the work, you know, the preparations from the kingdom being made there. And I love how they're working to, as you say, to bring the young people to understand, appreciate what Messiah's coming will bring to them. Appreciate that very much. Thank you for your testimony. And if anyone doesn't know the doctors, they're from Chicago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're from Chicago. Greetings from the Chicago class.
Thank you. We have Brother Bob Gray next.
Actually, you do have both of us. In fact, I will put the screen on. I don't know if you can see us. There we are, some of us, or parts of us. I would like to just first say that Rebecca has something. She's been reading one of the books about Brother Russell's life, and I think she reacted very much to the comments that were made in the last services, and she wants to comment on that. But I want to say this. She's been very anxious to give out copies of Truth Literature in the last few days. We have 4 neighbors that are especially close to us, and I have been a little bit nervous about her doing that because we've talked with these individuals for the most part, and some of them don't know anything about us because they just have moved in recently. And literally, I was nervous because, you know, going out without a mask on, stopping. Anyway, she managed to walk to each one of them, and today she actually went into the lady's house. She wanted her to come inside. And the lady is grew up in Romania. She's of German ancestry, and she made it a point to invite Rebecca in and was very gracious, in spite of my resistance to having Rebecca going around trying to give things away in the middle of COVID-19, which I was really the bad guy in this case. But she has some comments about Brother Russell and what she's been reading.
Oh, yeah, I'll just mention this one woman I went to last. I wanted to leave a seed with all our neighbors, and I couldn't figure out how to do it, especially with this woman who was she's been very burned and stunned by Christian persecution, right, in different states in the Middle East or in Europe. And I didn't know how to approach her, but it was amazing. I says, well, God has a promise plan for everybody, not just a few people. And she says, oh, come in, sit down. So we talked, and I was very thankful. And by the way, regarding all our experiences, I like to think about what Jordan, our son, said. Mom, for the sympathetic priesthood, we don't pick our resume, you know, but we do have we each have our own personal experiences, and some of them are hard to understand or comprehend, but I'm so thankful. And just recently, as Bob mentioned, I've been reading this book, Charles Taze Russell, His Life and Times, The Man, The Millennium, and The Message. Frederick Zeidick, have any of you read that? It is so painful to read what Brother Russell went through. It was just devastating to hear. And I'm so thankful that we have his writings, and he was faithful in all that he was used for. It's such a privilege. And also thankful for this stage in our life for Bob and I. It's very humbling. It's called old age. You can't do what you used to do. You know, I'm glad we traveled when we could. I mean, I hardly know where things are in this house, let alone going to India 16 days or whatever. But I'm very thankful to accept the seasons in our life. They're all specially for our preparation, and one thing that really perks me up and encourages me is opportunities to witness. And Bob and I have these T-shirts that says "Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem" or "Jerusalem," and a lot of people will give us a funny look, or some of them will look interested, and some may even ask. And so sometimes one little experience I usually share is I say, have you ever been to New York where they have the Isaiah Wall? It says they will turn their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning. And I says, it's not across street from the UN. It's not the UN that's going to do it. You know what they forgot to write on the wall? Of course, all nations will come to Jerusalem to learn about the God of Jacob. And so it's such a privilege to know the truth even more as this progresses into the time of trouble. And please pray for us to be faithful no matter what. And I think the real challenge will come when some of the churches get together and they're going to get peace on earth, save this government of ours, this good government. And, you know, we're going to stand up against that. So praying for you all and your peace and strength and growth. And please pray for us to be faithful also and growing. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you, Sister Rebecca and Brother Bob. They're from the New Brunswick Ecclesia, for any who might not know. And the book Sister Rebecca mentioned, if you friends have the chat, the title and the author have been put in there. Brethren, we've read that ourselves, and it seems to really focus. The man who wrote it is not spirit-begotten, but wrote it from a perspective of just being impressed with the life and the one single-mindedness, we would say, of Brother Russell to serve his father. I think that's one of the most impressive things, because he goes through all these trials that Brother Russell had that you don't find much about in the reprints, and yet how he kept carrying on the work. It's very encouraging from that standpoint, dear friends. A little discouraging. It's a little bit, I found a little bit gossipy maybe because of all the trials and so forth. But the single-mindedness of Brother Russell is very encouraging to see. The rabbi, just a question on here from Brother Richard Doctor. The rabbi is Benjamin Bleck that they visited. That's B-L-E-C-H, I believe. Correct me, dear doctors, if that is incorrect.
Oh, that's correct. For the brethren to know his standing, we're not advocating this, but when Pope John Paul II had a reconciliation with the Jews, or tried to have it, and brought three Jews to the Vatican, Benjamin Bleck was one of the three. So he's pretty high profile in the world Jewish community.
Thank you, Brother Richard. And thank you, dear Grace, for your testimonies. I wanted to give you Psalm 73:26. I think of this often for all of us as we're aging. My heart and my flesh fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Thank you for your testimonies. Brother Mark Candle, if you'd be next.
Yeah, let's see. Well, Brother John, in the mornings I enjoy the morning manna text that comes up on my computer. And I especially enjoy hearing Brother Brian Kutcher reading it to me, because it sounds a little bit different than when I read it to myself. I usually fall asleep when I read it. But when he reads it, I pay more attention. So it's really good. But I wanted to try listening to it from the YouTube presentation that is given, which shows the stars and that. And on July 29th, it was really a good text. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And it was talking basically about the three Hebrews who had their bonds burned off in the flames, yet they were not touched, not even the smell of smoke. And I looked across the page on YouTube, and there was, of all people, one of my most favorite commentators. His name is David Brooks. He's Jewish, and he's often on PBS. And he was speaking at the National Cathedral on July 5th, and this was a copy of what he said. And as he spoke, he was comparing our trouble today with a Jewish perspective of events occurring in Jesus' day, and the attitude Jesus encouraged in a tumultuous time. And there was even a man using sign language for the benefit of the deaf, and you could hear a pin drop in the cathedral. It was so quiet. And as he continued to speak, the camera turned to the cathedral, and it was empty. All that was there was a tripod with a camera. And I think of our elders speaking on Sunday. They know there is at least 30, maybe 70 live bodies listening. For David Brooks, there was only the cameraman, the sign man, and himself. And I looked at how many people were viewing this YouTube. 300,000. And the coronavirus may change our meeting habits, and we desire to have physical meeting with the brethren. But the burning of our bonds in these trials might open up opportunities we could never have had by any other means. And we may think no one hears the truth. We may think the cathedral is empty to our view. But the Lord can use our services in ways we could never have thought possible. New tools and greater focus on new opportunities is all around us, and I pray that we use these opportunities while they last. We're living where the Lord wants us to be today. And he opens opportunities we never knew were there until he burned those bonds from our bodies. And I want to be faithful to those opportunities that come up. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mark. That is such a wonderful lesson of the three Hebrews and how they went through a fiery experience, and yet they were actually freed by the experience of their bonds. And you remind me of the story when Jesus fed the 5,000, how they found a little boy who had some bread and fishes. And we think we're like that little boy who doesn't have much, and yet the Lord is able to do great things. And we should never underestimate the Lord's working if we're willing to keep our hand open and to be used. We appreciate you sharing that very much. And dear friends, the text that I lean on all the time is God means it for good. Whatever it is, God means it for good. Keep that in your hearts. We have Brother Tim Armstrong next.
Hi, Brother John, brethren. Rejoiced to be with you this weekend at convention. Just amazed, not amazing, not surprised really, just rejoicing how the Lord worked us all together. Brother Ed's words before Russ spoke were not exactly this, but it was like the best is yet to come. Not that one service was better than the other, but it's just amazing how one builds upon the other. As Brother Brad Bach mentioned, that there's individual service each brother was going to bring to our attention, but yet they're all tied together so wonderfully that we just are just amazed to hear it repeated over and over. The Wilmington Brethren send love. We want to bring you that before we forget. And recently we were talking to somebody who was reading, getting ready to read the fourth volume for the first time. And so we were reminded when Brother Brad mentioned about the pastor's attitude and just proper spirit of humility in presenting the truth. And it reminded me of the a part that we had gone over with the person. It's on the page four of the original foreword, and it's talking about principles, not individuals, under discussion. So we know that most of the brethren are familiar with this concept, if not these words themselves. But the pastor was getting ready to talk about revelation, and he said, "We wish to state most emphatically that we are saying nothing whatever against godly Christians anywhere, at any time, whether in any church or out of any church. We have nothing to say respecting people, but we discuss principles, doctrines always, individuals never." And right before that, I missed a part. He said, "There are so many ways in which one might be misunderstood talking about the symbols of revelation." He said, "Even by good Christian people, that we naturally feel a delicacy about expressing our views as we proceed to set forth our understanding of the symbols of revelation." And then he said what I just read before that about principles and doctrines and individuals never. So we were just reminded about our conversation the other day with this individual when Brother Brad mentioned that and how the pastor was said it's a delicate matter and we're going to express them the best we know how. We're not trying to offend anybody else with our views, but we are stating what the Lord has shown us. And we appreciated that very much. And I think to me that came through very well today, the way the brethren brought forth their each individual areas of consideration. And so we, anyway, that's just didn't want to let that go by. So, well, we had, there was no other hands up there. So I said, we'll help fill the time here and have our opportunity to express our thankfulness to the Heavenly Father and to our brethren as well. And Brother John, special love to Sister Isabel. And maybe we can, as a convention, send love out to all before the meeting closes as well. Lord bless. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Tim. Very much. Brethren, we've been impressed too with the testimonies to consider, you know, sometimes we don't consider the personal cost that Brother Russell had in serving as that servant. And it seems from our own studies that he was one that would prefer a quiet, private life. And yet the Lord put him in position where he had a very public life. And I think he felt very much to the depths of his heart the responsibility to present truth, as Brother Tim has brought out, and to speak as an oracle of the Heavenly Fathers, as the scriptures tell us, to speak as an oracle of God. Thank you for sharing those things, Brother Tim. And we will take the moment, dear brethren. Can we, I guess if you all could unmute, and would you like to send love to all the brethren that you come in contact, please share that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you all. And could we also
love you all.
Love you all.
Could we also ask, dear brethren, and you want to thank the Ecclesia for the opportunity of this convention as presented.
Yes.
Nice. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
John, you might want to ask Virginia if she wants to testify.
Yeah, I think we have.
Thank you.
I think we have Brother Tom or Sister Nancy Mahachik next.
You can shut it.
Hey, Brother John. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Wonderful. Well, Brother John, this is Brother Tom Mahachik from the Northwest Indiana Bible Students, and I do bring the love and greetings of our class to the convention. One of the things that I have been thinking about is about 10 months ago, we had realized that this convention was going to be a weekend before the Indiana State Fair, so Sister Nancy and I were all excited about being able to go to this convention and not interfere with the Indiana State Fair. Well, needless to say, we couldn't attend in person this convention, but we can attend it through Zoom. And the Indiana State Fair was canceled for this year, so we're looking forward to 2021 for the next time, and it's always been a blessing. I would like to testify is that one of the comments that was made that really has been on my heart for quite a while is the watchman's responsibility. And where I'm going with this is that part of the things that I have seen trying to have literature and witness at the Indiana State Fair, as well as some experiences at the Illinois Sandwich Fair, is that we have a lot of literature for English. We have some printed material in Spanish, but I think we're lacking the ability to reach a different portion of the Spanish community. And that's kind of driven me to want to do a bilingual type of booklets to make available for any of the brethren to witness. Then a bilingual booklet would be, in essence, the topic, whatever it's how to study the Bible, which we are in the final phase of that. One page would be in English, and right next to it would be the Spanish. So it makes it easier for someone to give a track and not be able necessarily to understand all the Spanish, but be able to communicate by pointing. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to be able to get this type of literature to some of the Spanish-speaking and Spanish-English-speaking individuals, and then they can then take it home and share it with their parents that may only speak Spanish, but they can understand in English. They can better convey the concepts of what the English is trying to say. As part of all this, we are going to put in, we're having our first ad for a bilingual booklet in a monthly free magazine or paper in our community. It's going to touch around 40,000 homes, and we're hoping that this concept will be received well in that it's a different way of sharing the truth. And Lord willing, we'll see how this goes. We have put some bilingual type of pages on our website, and we're starting to get some hits on that as well. So I do encourage the brethren to think about that responsibility of our responsibility for being the watchman and sharing this wonderful harvest message that we've been hearing about, and how valuable it is that it not only sits in our hearts, but it's always before us to give aid to those who are seeking the truth and comfort for those looking for the kingdom. Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify, Brother John.
No, we appreciate your testimony, Brother Tom. And, you know, a friend's heart desire is to be burning and shining lights in the world. We appreciate very much how the Lord has opened opportunities through the Northwest Indiana class and the brethren there, and how you all are looking for opportunities where there have been untapped fields to share the truth with. And I do pray the Lord's blessing to be upon this work and these opportunities. It is such a privilege to speak peace in this world today. Thank you for your testimony, Brother Tom. I thought I saw a hand from Brother Jerry Leslie. Did you have a testimony, Brother Jerry?
Well, I raised my hand in voting for all the gratitude to the brethren for the convention. You know, we always have a good measure of gratitude for the harvest message. And I think that this convention theme was really quite particular and very good. We've been able to listen throughout most of the day with a few other responsibilities. But, brethren, it's so nice to be together. I think that just knowing probably almost all the names that I see on the screen, not everyone, but almost all, is really a blessing. I was caught particularly with listening to the other testimonies also, and thinking of what Brother Mark said about the Lord is already conditioning us for perhaps something we don't know yet, but he's giving us an opportunity to exercise this new medium. It's not quite what I would like in some face-to-face and side discussions at a convention, but it certainly is reaching out to more brethren that would ever be able to attend a convention. And we are talking to each other, and we are sharing ideas of the truth. And even in the breaks, when brethren are asking questions, we all are sort of like in that breakout room together, or the little corner where someone's asking the speaker a question and saying, "Yeah, that was my question too," or "I have an answer for that." And so, I think it's stimulating our minds in a wonderful way. We're stretching into new fields, and it's a little uncomfortable. Every time there's a change in our life, it's not real comfortable, but the Lord is preparing us for something. And maybe it is a greater witness. Maybe it's a greater service to one another. Maybe it is just another learning tool that we never had before to consider the thoughts of brethren. When we invite brethren to a convention, it's like, who can travel? Who has the time from their work? Who can afford the expense to travel? And all the overhead of preparing a convention. And essentially, I thought during this convention, we've been hearing brethren that we've never had out here in the West Coast to a convention before. And yet many brethren in our class are saying, "I really enjoyed that lesson. I think that brother's got a really good head on his shoulders." And there's no reason we can't have a convention and invite them in this kind of medium. So where the Lord is stretching our aptitude also, and learning experiences. Well, that's a little bit of my reflection today. There's a lot of things going on here. We're trying to get settled in a new abode. But I always remember a talk that Brother Zeno gave. We're all getting ready to move. And it's that getting ready. It's the leaving behind certain things, gathering the essentials, and determining what is essential in our lives, And we've had kind of the physical side of that. And we're not settled physically yet, but I keep remembering the spiritual lesson that we must gather the spiritual tools for the greater move. Thank you, Brother John, for this testimony meeting and this opportunity. Sharon is here. She's probably, you can see her, right? But
no.
Behind me here.
Please don't.
It's nice to see you, Sister Sharon.
No.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you call us, John, and I just, John, you particularly have such a wonderful balance. I don't want to give this heap a lot of praise, but you have that interpersonal care for one another that we need, as well as the intellectual stimulation about a question. Remember you contacting us about Habakkuk, and I had forgotten that I had a study in the back room somewhere, and I couldn't dig it out. But so these are wonderful opportunities to stimulate one another. And so thank you. That's all for us. Maybe there'd be time for some other testimonies. Over.
Well, Brother Jerry, Brother Lorenz put it this way: pack your bags for the Pleiades. Isn't that a lovely thought? It's very good to see that your books have found a home on the shelf as we look. But appreciate your thoughts very much, and Lord bless you both. So good to see you both. I'm not sure. Do we have time for one more, Brother David? I don't think I've got a hand in the queue at the moment.
You have time, sure.
Well, was there anyone else that wanted to add a last quick note? Sister Donna.
Brother John and brethren, I just thank God for this increase in knowledge. All of these conventions that I'm attending, I never would have been able to because of my health. I'm praising God for this increase of knowledge. Meeting brethren, I never would have had the opportunity. And it's also showing me how large God's family is. I go to South Africa, to East Africa conventions, meeting brethren, and I'm just praising the Lord for all of this, as well as I heard the present brethren before me. He is too. This is such an opportunity that we wouldn't have, where the world is complaining about the virus. We're praising the Lord. And I thank God for that. And I ask that you keep me in prayer, brethren, as I keep you in prayer. And I am enjoying the convention. And thank you to everyone that spent time. Brother John.
Thank you, Sister Donna Mitchum, from the West Suburban Ecclesia. Well said. Appreciate that. Friends, we're getting short on time. We'll have to see Sister Karina. We'll have to get your fellowship privately. Apologize about that. Brother David.
Yes, it was such a true statement. Sister Debbie Moss had also chatted in there to be faithful to the very last breath. And, of course, that's exactly what we want to do. I had a recent conversation with Sister Sarah Hess, who said, you know, she was thinking about in a twinkling of an eye. And I said, and when you wake up, and open your eyes, you will have 143,999 siblings. That's the majesty of God. What a family. We're thanking the Lord for today. These are electronic things are amazing and challenging both, but I think we all got fed well today. So Brother John has asked if we could close with 179. And we'll ask Brother John close with prayer. Thank you.
My life goes on in endless song above this lamentation. I catch the sweet not far of him that helped anew.
Gracious God and our eternal, loving Heavenly Father, Lord of hosts and giver of every good and perfect gift, we do hallow thy name. We thank thee so for our dear Master, through whom we may approach thee. And Father, we long to be with you and to be with him and begin the work of restoring mankind in this earth to your realm. Oh, Father, we are so appreciative of these high privileges, and in all things, we want to praise and honor you. We thank you so for the lessons this day and the encouragements and the bonds that we have in Christ. And we do pray that thou, the great heart searcher, as you see the needs of each one and their heart desires to serve and please you, that you will bless each according to their need. We thank thee so, Father, again, and ask it in Christ's name. Amen.